This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn. It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott, the Mad Backer, sports writer, and you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay Will, it's Tuesday. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. You could be part of the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And if you can't get through, because we always encourage people to call early and be part of it, if you can't get through, here's what you do. You get us on social media, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. Bart Scott, did you watch Zion Williamson last night?
Did I? Watch baby Barkley go to work, man. He's like Oliver Miller with hops.
Oliver Miller.
I'm thinking about all the plump dudes I could do. Okay, well, Derek Coleman, but he was 6'10". Terry Mills, but he can't shoot. You know what I'm saying? I'm going any fat guy, man. Listen, we always love, like, the big guy that's not supposed to be doing what he's doing because his height doesn't suggest that he can play and be able to finish around the rim, but he can finish around the rim. And I don't know why people always allow him to get to that left hand, but he always finds a way back to that left hand, man.
Left side.
Strong side.
Strong
tell you
side.
What, and like he's fun to watch just because you see guys that think they're going to block his shot, but when they hit that body, they bounce off. They bounce off, and it gives them the space, so it doesn't matter how tall he is, like a Z-Bo with hops. You know what I mean? Z-Bo never jumped, but because his shoulders are so wide, he just put that ham hawk on you, and he gets the finish. You know what I mean? So, listen, he's intriguing, right? And, like, I think he's a one-on-one, really. I mean, because we talk about Z-Bo. Z-Bo didn't have the hops.
Yeah.
Or the quickness. Or the ability to kind of burst and explode that fast. So I don't know if we've ever seen anybody quite like Zion, and when that happens, we don't know how to evaluate him because we don't know how great he can be or if it can be great because we don't have anything to compare him to. I mean, Barkley was kind of like that, but I don't know if Barkley had as much hops as Zion had.
Oh, yeah. Early on Barkley had ridiculous hops. Barkley had barely 6'5", and he would come down the lane and dunk on everybody. But last night – so why I'm talking about this is because it was such a compelling performance. – So the Pelicans, who had been struggling of late, and they were 14-19 coming into the game, beat the Jazz, who don't seem to lose to anyone, one of the best defensive teams in the league, and they did it putting up 129 points, 129-124. The Pelicans had I'm not misspeaking here, a 70-point second half. They had 40 points in the third quarter. Like, whatever happened with the Jazz, it just fell apart. And a lot of it had to do with Zion Williamson. He had 26 points and 10 rebounds, 5 assists as well. He did have 6 turnovers, but we're going to let that go for a minute here. He was 10 of 17 from the floor. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, at Alan Hahn, I tweeted earlier this morning, which I love doing, because anytime he has a big game, the first thing I do is go to the shot chart. Because I'm fascinated by his shot chart.
He's Will and Chamberlain his shot before chart, the 3-second rule.
Like, it's this is why George Mike and why they moved the lanes. This is why they wouldn't allow, like when Lou Alcindor, they wouldn't allow him to dunk in college. They made a rule, you can't dunk.
Yeah,
like,
no,
this
dunk
is what, like, guys like this are why they changed the rules in the game. Look at that shot chart that I have on my Twitter, and if you can't see it, let me explain it. There's a restricted area that they call it, the restricted area. It's under the basket, and it's a little arc that's literally under the basket. They do it for when you take charges.
Yeah.
But we also call it that because if you shoot a shot from inside that arc, you're literally shooting a layup.
Yeah.
All but one of his attempts were inside the restricted area. All but one. Like, he got to the paint against one of the best defensive teams in the game, against a two-time all-defensive, like, this guy, defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert. Like, you're doing this again. This isn't against scrubs. This is against one of the best teams in the league, one of the best defensive teams in the league. And Zion got to the rim, Bart, anytime he wanted to. So it's fascinating to me, and I thought of you because I got to feel like if you're an NFL player, There's no one you enjoy watching more than Zion because he looks like one of you guys.
Yeah, he looks
playing
like
in the NBA.
He looks like Jerome Bennis. He would be the equivalent to Jerome Bennis, just watching people bounce off of him and not can't get.
But Derrick Henry, isn't he Derrick Henry?
Yeah, well, Derrick Henry's tall, so I go.
Well, so Zion,
because Bussy was fat. I'm talking about like in football, 10 first back. Never mind.
Oh, you mean perspective? Okay,
yeah,
I got
perspective.
You. I got.
You know, it's like amazing what he does because he's representing for all the little fat, and he's not fat. But he looks so thick, man. He looks like, you know, the other day when they showed all the practices of Myles Garrett dunking and how big he looked in his uniform. That's what Zion looks like without the cuts. It looks like Myles Garrett.
You're not wrong.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not wrong. When you look at Zion in a basketball uniform, he definitely looks like what we saw in Myles Garrett.
If I was a basketball player, I'd be like, what the hell, man? Like, and he's sitting there putting that booty on you, and then it's like he's left-handed, so it's awkward because you're not used to going against a left-hander. And it's like weird because the poster I want to see more than anything is I want to see Zion dunk on Rudy Gobert because, like, nobody's – well, he's been dunked on before, but, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I don't think he has to – I don't think Zion – like, if you've noticed this year, he's gotten away from trying to dunk everything, and now he's just being smart, and I'm just – I get to the rim easily and just make the layup. And that's what he's doing against a lot of guys and taking contact. Did get to the free throw line in this game as well. But you know what? Here's the thing. So I found this. This is an incredible stat. 95.3%. Yes, very specific. 95.3% of Zion's shots are less than 10 feet.
It's crazy.
Like, he's 6'6". Like, in this league, you shouldn't – that shouldn't be normal. But for him, it is. And, of course, his finishing ability at the rim is fantastic. Now – because he's at the rim so much, he also, and Jay Will pointed this out this morning on KJZ, and we'll have Jay Will on at 1 o'clock, is that he's also had his shot blocked the most of any player in the league, 60 times. But that's expected. You know who's number two? Andre Drummond, a 7-footer. But that's, again, it's to be expected because all of your attempts, or at least most of them, are at the rim.
And you get to help defense, right? They know you once you get the ball,
do whatever it takes.
You know it's going up. You know it's going up. So to help defender, you're like, yo, bro, when it's this dude spin and he put me on his back and he catch me with that chicken wing, it ain't nothing I can do. He going up. I need help.
Strong.
Help me. Help defend. When you see this dude get it, you know he ain't passing. And it's crazy because he dominates without a lot of a great 3-point shooting around him. They only attempted yesterday 11 threes. Right? They hit 7 of them, and that's thanks to JJ Redick. But they don't have great shooting around them. So you would think that the defense would be able to sag off because Lonzo can't shoot. Right? You would think the defense in Ingram's okay, but he didn't even attempt the three. You would think that they would sag off and make that fence around like they do for Giannis.
What you just said, that's a great point. The Jazz attempted 43 threes. They made 17. That's a pretty good percentage, right? Right. The Pelicans attempted 11, but they made 7.
Yeah.
So while the Jazz made 10 more threes in this game, it didn't matter, which goes against what we are learning about
analytics.
Today's NBA.
Knicks 2 years ago.
Yeah. You just more threes. But when we talk about Zion, because, you know, this all sparks from the conversation that started with Greeny and Get Up and then onto his radio show as well. Which was like, if you're going to start, if what player would you build your team around for the next 10 years? So it can't be an older player, as we know, because we're saying 10 years. So it became Luka. And when you watch Zion and you're saying to yourself, he gets to the rim whenever he wants. And so, all right, when was the last time we saw a player who scored that easily in the paint? It's one thing to step backs and threes. Yeah, like,
maybe,
we've seen the
Giannis.
Outside game.
Maybe Giannis.
Giannis, that easily, that with that much force and power at the rim.
Well, not with that power. But Giannis, you know, yamming on people too. He's a lot taller, and it seems like he don't even have to jump to dunk.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can talk about Shaq in his early days, how Shaq was just booty bumping everybody out and dunking and bending the rim.
Well,
and
it's interesting you say Shaq. And, again, we want you to join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So Brian Windhorst was talking about this and talking about Zion and his game as we're trying to figure out. We all love making these comparisons. And we're just trying to figure out. He's jumping the gun. We're trying to figure out, like, what type of player is he? And Wendy came up with the comparison to Shaq. Listen.
This is the best interior scorer I've seen in the NBA since Shaq. In the month of February, he averaged 20 points a game in the paint. And this is a guy who's, you know, I think they list him at 6'6". I don't even know if he's really 6'6". But he's undersized almost every time. He gets his shot blocked more than anybody else in the league, and he doesn't care. His ability to play in the inside is unmatched. And not only that, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've started putting the ball in his hand to make him more of a playmaker. I was talking to an executive the other day. He said he reminds me of a modern-day Anthony Mason. And if you remember the way Anthony Mason played in New York and in Miami, he'd bring the ball up the court, and he was this bull, and he could just do so much with it, also left-handed, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, Zion's ceiling is higher than that, but we just haven't seen a guy like that in 20 years.
I love Wendy. That's a great – that is a comparison that not many people would consider.
Mace was my dog, man. God rest his soul. That was my boy.
Yes, that's right. Rest in peace, Mace. But that's what Mace was. Mace was a point forward type. Yeah. And, you know, Don Nelson tried to make him that, put the ball in his hands. When he took over for Pat Riley with the Knicks in the mid-90s, he was basically like, Ewing, you're out. This is going to be Mason's game now. And, boy, that obviously did not go over well with Ewing. But Mace loved it. Yeah. It turned into a pretty nice contract. Sixth man of the year. Like, this is a guy that people forget. Anthony Mason was a hell of an NBA player. But it was a very similar build.
Yep. Similar.
Although
didn't have a hop.
Mace couldn't jump. Yeah. Mace couldn't jump.
Gravity was not his friend.
There's no doubt about it.
What about the X-Man? Was the X-Man that kind of brings up the X-Man?
No. X-Man was a little more on the perimeter, a little more of a mid-range kind of shooter. He was a scorer. Like, again, I'm talking about just ferociously attack the rim to a point where he looks like he's not getting there. Right. And then you try to put the wall up, and he just goes over
you.
He's
so quick. He's so quick.
And the quick bounce.
It's his second bounce. It's so fast. It's the second jump.
So I'm just, like I said, it is interesting to me to watch Zion play and ask yourself the question that I think comes up, and that is what we always do with young players. Is this a centerpiece type game that he plays, and is it sustainable? And when I watch Zion, it's hard not to, and you brought this up, it's hard not to think of Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And Blake was bigger than him.
Reminds me of Blake. Bouncy,
because Blake
rib,
used his hops a lot, and once the legs went, the game went. Like the Pistons don't even want him playing now.
Right. I mean,
Pistons just let him sit out.
You see him get the ball. He's backing people down with a knee brace on. It's hard to
watch. He's
playing
old man game. Yeah, he's playing wide. He's playing Sunday morning at the Y now. And I feel bad for Blake because he was so fun to watch when he was younger. But that's the thing with Zion that you worry about is his game, the physicalness that he has to use. Is that a word? Physicality.
Physicality.
That he has to use. Is it sustainable? On this, let's take Scott in Nevada to start us off today. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Love your guys' show. Best show on ESPN Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call about the problems the Jazz had with their defense. If you look back a couple weeks ago when they played the Philadelphia 76ers, Rudy Gobert was on Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons went for 42 points. Yep. I think it was 12 rebounds, 9 assists or something like that. Could be a little chink in their armor going forward.
I'm curious because, you know, obviously they rely so much on Rudy. He only had 3 fouls in this game, too. But they do a lot of where they just wall up. You know, it's not as if they're, you know, they're not chasing down blocks and stuff. They're a little more of a positional defensive group. And because, again, the Pelicans didn't shoot a ton of threes, you would think pack the paint, double team. A couple of they started trying to double Zion in this game last night. I was looking between this and obviously I was watching the Nets Spurs game. And they did the job. They got the Spurs to overtime. Now let's see if the Spurs are tired against the Knicks tonight.
Good job.
but no, it is, again, I just feel like for Zion, he's so fun to watch. But in that question about building your franchise around a young player for the next 10 years, is he a guy that you feel comfortable doing that? Remember what I said? It's the next 10 years.
I don't.
Not the right now.
I mean,
it's
I'm
10
convinced.
Years now.
I'm convinced because, you know, the reason why I can't be shredded all the time like bodybuilders is because I lack discipline. I like variety, right? I can't just eat broccoli and asparagus every day, man. I need something else. So what I'm saying is I can't take a player and build a future around him that can only do one thing. And because he's so successful at it, that means that he may not think that he needs to add to his game. This is why the greatness of LeBron is so great, because LeBron was a slasher, get to the rim, facilitator, but then he knew that guys were backing off of him. He took it as disrespect. People used to treat LeBron much like they treated Giannis, but the difference was LeBron became a good enough shooter to make you have to respect his shot. So great players only become great or become Mount Rushmore if they're motivated by plugging in the holes in their game, not just trying to get better at what they're already good at. And that's what makes LeBron great.
Here's your example. Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic all of a sudden started showing us a couple of years ago, like, wow, this guy's got a lot of skill, but he had a dad bod.
Yeah.
How serious is he going to be now about being a guy that can play 38, 40 minutes and carry his team when you've got to get in the elite conditioning to do it? And how did he look when he came back? Showed up at the bubble, shredded.
Yeah.
Right? Took advantage of that time. And now he's got a much different body. His energy is right. And we're just seeing a guy that now everybody's talking about being an MVP candidate. So that is that next step, that next level that you got to see. And that's what LeBron did.
Yep.
LeBron made sure, like I'm always going to be available to my team, and that's a big part of greatness. There's no doubt about that.
And who did it on a smaller scale was Draymond. Draymond was chubby as hell when he came in. He was always talking about he's not in shape.
Yeah.
Like, Draymond is able to keep that energy up because he's an energy guy. He's a guy that's undersized, and he's become a great passer and great facilitator. When I look at Zion's game and look at the fact that he gets the ball so much that he only has 5 assists, if he can add that and make people pay for doubling him, be able to find – but that's why you got to surround him with shooters, and they don't have good enough shooters. Lonzo Ball can't shoot. Ingram's okay. Redick is on his way out.
Yeah, we'll see how they build that team, certainly around him. But there's no doubt, like, his game just is getting – is rising – with this team, and we'll see if they can get the play. Look, again, the next thing is, too, is lead your team to the playoffs. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, I was also keeping an eye on the Nets and the Spurs last night for some selfish reasons, but also because I've got a confession to make, Bart. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I really enjoy watching Brooklyn James play basketball.
I think he's the MVP.
And it's hard for me to say because I used
to. I think he's going to win the MVP without scoring all those points. Remember, the previous years, he was right there for the MVP.
Right.
But I think that this year, with the way he's playing, how beautiful his game is, and he's still getting the numbers, but maybe not the numbers that we're accustomed to him getting as far as the points, man, he looks like he's so in control. You talk about Luka, how he plays at his own pace. Jokic, how he plays at his own pace. Man, James Harden created their own pace. Right? And it was like iso ball with Houston. But now, man, it's almost like watching KD go to Golden State. And it's looking like, man, this guy is playing with players that he believes is of his ilk, that are basketball savants like him. And he's letting the game come to him. And the ball is going where the defense says it goes. And then when everybody's eating, you can't stop a team like that, man. And this is without KD. Like, well, they're trying to double him, and they're throwing the ball to Kyrie. They're breaking it down. I'm looking like I'm watching the Duke zone get broken down for easy layups.
It's really something, again, what they've got going. And that's the remarkable part, what you just said. They have not – think about it. They have played 7 games as a threesome.
Yeah.
They have – the trio has not really been on the court that much. By the way, this is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. If I didn't already say it, I will now. It is let's get into this Nets game, though. So 124-113, it did take overtime, and the Spurs made a wild comeback in the fourth to force overtime. What a shot by DeJounte Murray. What a wild ending to this game. But here's James Harden's line. You ready for this? 30 points, 14 rebounds.
What?
15 assists.
Damn!
2 steals. And here's the best part. 44 minutes, 0 turnovers.
That is
the first time in since they recorded turnovers. So back to 78, that a player has had 30, I think it's 30, 10, or 30, was it 30, 10, and 10, or 30, 15, and 10, whatever it is. It's the first time that's happened without a turnover.
Yeah.
So, again, what Harden is doing is fantastic. So all I did innocently, Bart, is go on Twitter this morning and just say how much I enjoy watching him play. And it's a joy to see just the difference in him since he's come back from Houston. And all the stands, because, you know, again, there's not Rockets fans, it's not Nets fans, it's James Harden fans.
Yeah.
All the stands gave me the little hashtag casual. Casual fan, right?
Ooh.
They hit you
like they hit Shaq?
Yeah, like right before homeroom, they all went on. This had to have been right before homeroom when they just started tweeting at it, because they had to have been in homeroom. That's how childish hashtag casual is.
Casual.
But they call, and I'm like, I've been watching this league my whole life, and I've been covering it for 15 years. Casual?
You was going through LeBron James' wastebasket to see where he was going.
Man.
They gonna call you casual?
I'm casual. So,
you made?
So I want all those so-called Rockets fans who aren't Rockets fans. You're Harden fans. Let's be honest with yourself. You're Stan. That's all right. I need to hear. You got to explain to me how He's not. He is different than the player. And you could say, well, it's because that's what the Rockets needed from him. That means he's different. And that means I'm right. And really all I'm looking for today, Bart, is to be told I'm right. But you know what else? Kyrie Irving seems to really enjoy playing off the ball. He also seems to be really relishing in the fact that his teammate, James Harden, is putting up historic numbers. Here's what he said after the game.
I think we have to implement the phrase, get used to it. You know, when someone's that special, someone's that talented, someone's that gifted, and they're able to, you know, do all facets of the game at a very high level, they're able to play, you know, at a very high level, and he's been displaying that. And it makes it easier for me. I'm sure other guys can echo the sentiment. When James is being James, it makes all our job a lot easier. And, you know, like I said, we got to get used to somebody special like that doing, you know, things like that in terms of breaking records.
Got to get used to it. Now, he's put up ridiculous numbers before.
Yeah. These are meaningful
numbers. Like this is, I feel like this is a little different than, and I'm not going to say he was stat padding, but it just looks different to me. I call him a maestro. He's playing more like Magic Johnson now.
Yeah.
And that's his best compliment I come up with. His vision, his control of the game, setting up teammates. There's so much about what he's doing now compared to seeking out fouls, taking a high volume of shots, and really passing as an option rather than passing to make a play.
Right.
That's a big difference in this game too.
I mean, it's crazy, man. When you look at it, like when you look at when Golden State was making their run, too, this is what intrigues me the most about this team. It was always the others, the guys that would, you know, that would get you. It was Iguodala, and it was Livingston, and it was like the guys that
killed,
but yeah, the role players, and they have a role player that I swear I don't know where he came from. I heard he was a Piston before, so I automatically like him. But Bruce Brown shooting 50%, man, give him 23 points. The fact that they can get him and he's setting the pick for the pick and roll is like a guy that rolls. You got to respect it because he ain't some big slob that's rolling some big, you know, lumbering dude that don't have no in between game that can't take the ball when he roll and hit a crossover and get a move and get to the basket. This dude's shooting 50%. Right? So, like, these are the guys, and when you think about championship teams, you think about the others. And they're starting to build a hell of a group of others. And if they get Tucker, P.J. Tucker, you talk about another gritty dude, pick and roll, and a guy that can sit eight ball in the corner pocket. Is it going to sit there like Bruce Bowen used to do? And when Harden doing all that stuff, and you got to decide, okay, do I double him? And he going to kick it to KD, or he kick it to Kyrie, and you go to the hole, and then they throw it to P.J. Tucker, and you look up, P.J. Tucker got 18 points. Like, what the hell? What are you in ball? It's like R. Kelly. What do you want from me? Robert, hey, just calm down, Robert.
I'm telling you, they are going to be tough to beat in a seven-game series. That is the truth. One last thing here, and then we'll get to calls coming up next and a couple other things. But my buddy Ty Butler does a great job. He's a producer at 98.7 ESPN elsewhere as well. He put out this tweet to back up what I was saying this morning. Harden now compared to his MVP season in Houston. Higher from two-point percent. Higher three-point percent, true shooting percentage, assist percentage, and offensive efficiency. Lower usage rate. More rebounds and assists, fewer shots and turnovers. Tell me he's the same player. He's not. He's better. And I'm enjoying it. And it makes me weird. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So coming up, we'll take your calls on this and also an interesting back and forth. So how about this? As we're talking about different players that you would build around, Brian Windhorst also suggests that the other New York team might be in the market for a megastar in the next 12 months. And Jay Will had a thought about who it could be. And when you hear that name, you're going to be like, what? It's kind of interesting. We'll discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Love that West Coast right beat right there.
That's definitely a little West Coast for you. West side.
Bart and Han, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So I just want to take like one or two on the Zion comparisons before we get onto this next topic. All right, so let's first take Cameron in Missouri. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey guys, good talking to you. I was going to compare. I was going to compare Grandmama Larry Johnson, especially early on in his career, to Zion.
Think we can get him in like an old dress and have him, dunk a ball. Like I would think that would be a hilarious commercial if he did like a Grandmama throwback commercial with LJ. I'll tell you what though, when you bring up Grandmama to LJ, LJ's one of my favorite people in the world. He doesn't want to talk about it. Like he hates talking.
I thought that
about
was a dope character, man. It reminded me of the Grandma of Family Matters. I tell you what, how about?
I told him that Tyler Perry stole that whole thing from him.
He go want some residuals. Don't get Tyler Perry get the paws put on him. Listen, I tell you what I would love, man. I would love a movie when they do Uncle Drew Part 2. He go get Grandma Ma. He play as Grandma Ma. Him and Uncle Drew on there. She got the dress on. They balling.
It's Grandma Ma and Great Grandma Ma.
Great Grandma Ma, Uncle Drew. He's Uncle Drew's grandma.
I love
don't
that.
Don't make me go get my grandma.
That's a really good one. That's a good one. All right, so on the Zion topic, that's that. And we talked about Harden and how much I just love watching him play. But we all know, for me, the Knicks are a team that always catches my attention. They play against the Spurs tonight, and hopefully the Spurs are tired. As the Knicks are trying to go two games over 500, and you can only imagine what Knicks fans will do if they are that. So let's go more Brian Windhorst, because we can never have enough Windy. This is from the Hoop Collective pod. And this is Windy talking about the Knicks, what they're building, and what he sees coming in the near future. Listen to this.
I say within the next 12 months, a star / superstar player demands a trade to New York. And I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. And I say by next year's trade deadline, a player, a superstar, all-star player tries to force his way there.
Is it an all-star? Is it an all-star alternate?
Well, he's an all-star superstar. Oh, I see what you're saying. Is it somebody? Well, all right. We have our guesses. Jay Will on KJZ this morning had this guess. Listen to this.
If it's not working out with Kristaps Porzingis, they can't find the right trade value. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is their third best player on that team.
Yeah, but Mark Cuban ain't going to let that happen.
I'm just saying, Bill Duffy represents Luka Doncic. Bill Duffy also represents R.J. Barrett. If there's a star that maybe doesn't feel like, hey, this organization is getting me to where I want to be, and you're watching what the Knicks are doing.
Oh, no, that'd be big time for the NBA if he was to make that move.
Luka Doncic in New York City with the Knicks?
But I don't think Mark Cuban would let that get away, though. Why would he let that get away?
I'm not saying he would. I'm just saying sometimes if you're in a place like Dallas and if you're not winning or if you're barely making the playoffs and you're having to do everything and you see what they're building here in New York, you're seeing guys like Worldwide West, Leon Rose, it could be an intriguing prospect.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask about
that. See, Jay's coming on at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask about that one.
Don't tease me, Jay. Don't do this now.
Luka is y'all LeBron. Luka is y'all LeBron. It's like Harlem Nights. Got my mouth all ready for some corned beef and hash and ain't got no corned beef and hash. Shut up and just eat it.
Well, I'm not sure about the Luka thing, and I agree with Key. I don't see Cuban letting that happen.
Cuban ain't crazy. That'd be detrimental to like his ticket sales, his franchise.
No,
I guarantee Luka, because he's so great, has the impact on the Dallas.
They'll trade like everybody. They'll clean that whole place out if they have to make sure that they keep Luka happy. If anybody, it's Mark Cuban will make sure of that, right? But you and I both have a name we're thrown out there. Now there's also a name that was thrown out there the other day. Steph Bondi of the Daily News in New York. He said Carl Anthony Towns is somebody that Tibbs would welcome to New York. And we all know that Carl's from the New Jersey area, and he's had a lot of issues, obviously, with COVID, with his family. He lost his mom. He lost other family members. He went through it, and he's gone through a lot this year. And would he want to move close to home? And, you know, he did play for Tibbs. They weren't exactly a perfect match in Minnesota, but, you know, the way it was reported is that Tibbs would certainly love to coach him. You know, would he try to make his way to the Knicks? But you and I both know the name that we're both watching closely.
Broadway.
And who is it? Go ahead, Bart. You say it so that they can't say
I don't know if we're on the same page. I'm on Broadway Booker.
Yeah, that's we're on the same page.
So I'm on Broadway Booker, man. Yeah. Like Phoenix, they, you know, Chris Paul experiment. How much longer does he have left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Broadway Booker, nobody really knows. He got to fight to be an all-star every single. I mean, look at Julius Randle. Listen, the fact that he has the Knicks, not laughable, got him into the All-Star game. Yeah, his numbers are decent, but there's some other guys that you could have said they could have got in there before him. The kid from Indiana, which team?
Sabonis.
You know, yeah, Sabonis. You know, I mean, you bring Broadway Booker.
Tobias Harris could have made an argument.
Yeah, so you look at Broadway Booker. If he can come here, light it up, put up scoring. I mean, just imagine
all the
a guy
reasons
like him
that
opens the court up for everybody because his range is unlimited.
But all the reasons that Jay talked about, and that's why we'll talk with Jay about this at one. But all the reasons Jay talked about is exactly what makes Devin Booker fit everything that Brian Windhorst was suggesting. This is a guy that just needs a bigger platform. He's out in the West where there's just star after star after star, and there he's just getting smothered. He's on a team that is a lot better this year, no doubt about it.
They ain't going nowhere.
But yeah, like you, I mean, does anybody have faith that the Suns are going to go on some run, win a championship anytime soon? So for him, and he's always had this is the second year now, he's had to be an injury replacement all-star. He's not getting any media votes. The players say he's great, but the fans don't give him a lot of votes. The media doesn't give him any. So what does he need? Right now, he's Kendall's boyfriend. He comes to New York, like you said, he's Broadway Booker.
Broadway Booker.
Right? He's downtown Devin. I mean, this is a guy that would be – who would benefit from – we all say this. Stars don't need the big markets. You're right. Stars don't. But guys who aren't stars yet do. And what would a move like that do for him? So it's I think if I'm reading the tea leaves that Brian Windhorst is right now stirring in his teacup, I would think that that's the player most executives are looking at and thinking will want to try to move his way. And the other thing to add to it is the CAA connection, Leon Rose, William Wesley. There's a connection there, and it's obvious. And oh, can I also mention John Calipari? And Kentucky. So well, it's just something to watch and see what happens. But Wendy said it, not me. Jay suggested Luka. I can't see that happening, but we'll discuss that with Luka when we go forward. It's Barton Hahn. We're brought to you by Goodyear. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Coming up, making moves. The Atlanta Hawks decide to make a move with their head coach, and it is a very unpopular decision, at least outside of the Atlanta Hawks. We'll explain. Jay Will at 1. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Yeah, we're back. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll keep an eye on the calls. We want you to be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jay Will's going to join us coming up in the top of the hour. But Bart, As we go through the NBA in this first hour, let's discuss some making moves. Now, Lloyd Pierce is going to need LinkedIn because the Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce as their head coach yesterday. Basically, at halfway point of the season, of a season with a lot of expectations with Atlanta. They're 14-20.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of money and made a lot of changes, upgrades, in the offseason. Big part of it, injuries. They just have not had a full roster the whole season. Another big part of it, Trae Young is not that good. High volume guy, high volume shooter who's got to be maddening to play with. But they've got to get everything they can out of him because guess who they traded to get him?
Luka
Doncic. Yeah. Yeah. That'll always hang over them.
Yeah, forever.
So Yeah. So it's not fair to Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd Pierce is a well-respected coach. Around the league, there was a reaction to this firing. Like, he gets fired, and Luke Walton can't get fired.
You think they going to give Luke Walton and Blake check and tell him go enjoy his money? Hell no. If we got to watch this crap, you got to watch it too, every day. Right, go right. to the press conference every day. Every day, answer the same damn thing. What happened?
Strong comments from Rick Carlisle, who is the head of the Coaches Association, not happy about it. Doc Rivers as well, you know, just seeing how it's just, because it's the business, and they're talking about rebuilds. And a coach who has to, you know, be the one that takes all the losses, and then someone else now will benefit from the talent. I say that about Kenny Atkinson all the time too, and what happened in Brooklyn.
But
they do replace him with another coach who had been, to me, unjustly fired.
Wrong.
And that is Nate McMillan.
Yep.
McMillan was on the staff, and they keep him now as the head coach. And I think they'll get results from him because Nate McMillan doesn't take any crap from anybody.
Yeah.
And he makes it, his teams always play hard. The Pacers let him go, despite the fact that he made the Pacers very competitive despite not having any stars.
Yeah.
He took a draft bust in Victor Oladipo and turned him into an all-star.
Yeah.
And yet the Pacers decided this is not good enough for us. We're moving on.
Well, let's see if he addresses the elephant in the room, which is Trae Young. And if he had opinions about how Trae Young was playing and, you know, what he needs to do to become a better player, and maybe he has the clout to be able to step to Trae Young, because not only was he a great player himself, you know, the Sonic, Supersonic days and all those,
and
he's also a well-respected coach with a great resume. So somebody has to step to Trae Young because, you know, you have if you're making with this talented roster, with all the talent that they have, and just because you have talent don't mean you have a great team. Guys have to accept their roles. You would think that maybe a guy like Rajon Rondo would teach Trae Young how to involve people and how to be a great player, but it doesn't seem to have worked out. And sometimes, you know, you got these arrogant guys that think it's all about self and forget about the team, and the team don't have your back, and then you want to throw it to them to bail you out, then it's too late. So it's going to be important to see if Nate McMillan can be able to take this team and make them better.
I think they need to get John Collins and Trae in a room, a couple of boxing gloves, and let John Collins just have at it or something. You could tell he's not happy. He didn't like the contract that was offered to him. He wants to go to free agency. He's early in the season kind of talked about the fact that really the offense is all about Trae Young and not anybody else, and that's tough to – look, it's tough to play that way.
Yeah.
It's tough to play with guards who basically pass as an option, not as part of being a playmaker.
Yeah,
that part certainly is frustrating.
Trae Young come out there exposing them ball spots he got underneath that long hair. He's trying to see the forest through the trees.
How dare you? Tune into college basketball tonight. Georgia Tech hosts Duke. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So that's happening in Atlanta right now, but all around the league, there's a lot of different headlines. And Jay Will has had several takes that we need of him. It's force. Let's chat with him next about some of those takes. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.